Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to a live interview tonight on Prophecy Keepers Radio. When the host says the coast is clear, please call in.
This is Jasa Sagonige,
a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
And I'm here live, and we have Mark the Badger Borcherding with us. And the only thing we don't have with us is our guest, and we're not sure why. Accidents happen. We really don't know what's going on, but Mark and I are gonna wing it for a while. And so, what have you been up to, Mark?
Pretty much normal stuff, putting up, harvesting a lot of seeds right now from our garden. Put up quite a few. So we got I don't know how many right now, thousands and thousands of them.
Oh, I can imagine. We're supposed to have Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh on this evening. She's the, author of several books on biblical prophecy, but accidents do happen. I was an email in touch with her 3 days ago and confirmed the interview, and took a phone number, called back, and heard from her several times this week. And I emailed her this evening, told her what number to call back. Who knows? She's unavoidably detained. But hey, if you're listening out there and want to just call in and schmooze, feel free to call in, and Mark and I are going to wing it for a while, and there's some stuff that he and I have just been wanting to talk about for a while, and now's a chance. Yeah, this has happened before, and it'll probably happen again. But, I'm sure, accidents happen. Who knows? It's... Heaven forbid she had a car accident or something, but she's got the number to call in should she remember what's going on tonight. But you were saying you wanted to chat about some stuff, exchange some notes on some things you were wondering about. And
well, you mentioned several times about, or kind of joked about the aspect of the Cherokee and wanting to kind of be on high land because of the memory of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And then also some of the Cherokee Phoenician connections and the thing with the Cherokee and in Mexico and all that. And so I think that and then there's some various, I think, connections between things that different other tribes have talked about that are along those lines that probably relate in one way or another what the Cherokee belief or understanding is.
Yeah, so what was on your devious little 190 IQ brain? I know it's got to be way up there, or you wouldn't have gotten as much trouble in school as you did.
Yeah.
No, seriously,
you
did
know
you ever
about
have your, you ever had your IQ tested? I know you have to be. It's got to be up there in the mental level someplace. You probably just don't want to say.
No, I'm not really sure. And the thing is, it also, it's testing IQ from their perspective too.
Yeah.
So that's a potential issue because there could be someone that's a absolute genius that wouldn't score very good, but actually knew a lot more about this reality than the people given the test ever
seen. Yeah, it's skewed toward memory, and if you've got a good memory, you're gonna have a good IQ. I did a little graduate work in voc rehab, and when I found out just how good the tests were at predicting behavior and traits, up around 85%, I thought about going into testing and evaluation, because I had my wife and I had done some personality testing, and there's all kinds of fascinating little ways you can take a look at yourself. But this the Mayan calendar birthday thing is without a doubt one of the it's way more accurate than astrology. You know, my my current wife was abused as a child, and she's, you know, she's still got some emotional problems. And I was reading her reading the other night. There's a new I think it's called mymindbirthday.com, and it said, and it was very, very correct about her. It said that she really likes to make waves and it caused earthquakes, but on the other end, you know, those.
She's a Kaban or Naj.
Well, yeah, she's got to control those earthquakes herself. She's 8:15:49. If you want to,
8:15:49.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second. We'll look it up and see what.
And.
Wait a second. So August 15th, 1949.
Yeah, and actually, if.
She's in the. Well, she's in. She's not a Kaban, but she's in the Kaban cycle. She's in the. She's in the fifth day of 5-IMEX.
Well, hang on a second. Let's.
If that's her correct day.
Yeah, 8:15:49. I'm going to see if I can get her on the phone, and I'm going to put my mic on mute here for a second, and scream for her to answer the phone. Hang on. Okay, well, we'll just...
Hello?
Hi, honey. Our guest is absent without leave, so we... Mark and I thought we would give you your Mayan reading.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Well, I was just telling the other night I was reading a little bit, but Mark goes into much, much more detail. He's way off the chart in understanding this stuff. So, yeah, 8:15:49. Everybody, this is my wife Linda, Shining Star, Gentle Wind is my first, and it's interesting because even her her Mayan reading mentioned that she would be a shining star. I thought that was wild. And yeah, I mean, it's right in her, it's a pretty cool website. It's called mymayansign.com. And
well, I'm ready anytime you are.
And yeah, I got in there and I went, oh my gosh, shining star, and I was given her name. You know, way before I even met her. And, honey, well, you were born in the morning, so...
I was born at 8 a.m.
Oh, okay.
15 August 1949.
All right. So, in the traditional count, your birth was a day called 5-IMEX. And this number, 5 is a number that's very strongly related to Quetzalcoatl. It's also meant, couple numbers are, the 5, the 8, and the 13.
Now, let me make sure we got this right. Heidi, your birthday is the 15th of August, 1949, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this Mayan sign says she's for a how. So, anyway.
Well, it's very close, but the one that they're using is probably using another day count correlation calculation.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you're the expert, so go ahead.
Well, I use the ones that the Mayan elders and the Kishmai elders use. Most of the other ones use. And your friend Carlos Barrios would use. So it's there are several correlations that correlate our calendar into the Mayan one. There's one that's about a day or so different, 2 days, and there's another one that's depending on where it's at. The Jose Arguelles day count can be significantly, you know, different anywhere. So there's a lot of variances. So when I do the readings, I use what's the traditional Mayan daykeepers are using pretty much.
Okay.
Not that the other ones don't necessarily have some validity, and the reason for that would be is the Zolk'in itself has a holographic nature to it. So in an essence, you could conceive and break down each day as having all of the entire Zolk'in energy within it. So it's possible to look at it that way. But we're looking at it from the point of view that one day it represents, goes into one specific day in the Zolk'in. So, and the one, actually, interestingly enough, the one, and it could be actually the calculation that you have that there's this off by one, because you said it was 4 Hau, and that's the day right before 5 Imix.
Oh, okay.
So it's possible they could be off by one. I'm pretty sure this is the correct calculation, though.
Right.
Sometimes they miss.
How long have you been doing this?
Hmm?
How long have you been doing this?
Well, doing these readings and stuff for people, not publicly doing stuff for very long. I've done it off and on, just kind of privately for years, but
okay.
And I do the readings on Blue Otter shows actually with two Zolk'ins. One is the traditional Mayan Zolk'in, and the second, a little bit more complicated reading, is done with another Zolk'in that's essentially a extension or a growth of the Mayan Zolk'in using certain geometry and math that Crater uses in creation that I was given back in 1998. I have found that in doing, just over the course of time in doing readings, that the second, the one I was given, seems to even tune in on even more. And so it usually appears to be even a little bit better sometimes. Part of that's probably because it works on three different readings, a forward and a backward time flow and a centering of it. So there's just a lot more, you know, to work with because of that. You can actually, I actually retrofitted that concept back into the earlier Mayan Zolk'in, the one that most people are familiar with. So I actually have something that kind of takes that same idea and puts it in that context as well. But that usually gets to be too many things to be trying for someone to keep track of.
Okay.
And he's been personally taught by the elders too, which is the most important thing. He's really been schooled in this.
Well, most of my help comes from the standpoint of, for some reason, just the understanding of the, not just the Mayan thing, but is the geometry and how it connects into creation itself. And what makes the Mayan Zolk'in a little bit unique is it has certain cycles and number patterns that fit in with that are not found anywhere else.
Yeah.
So that is probably one of the reasons, and that's something that a lot of people don't really get into. It goes back into what I was just saying about those numbers, the 5, the 8, and the 13. Which Blue Otter might be familiar with it. Those were numbers that they said was the numbers or the signs of the Pale Prophet or Lord of the Wind and the Water, Quetzalcoatl or whatever. And those particular numbers form a relationship. And that relationship couples into actually the patterns, geometric mathematical patterns that actually create our bodies, the plants, and just about everything, the orbits of the planets, the galaxies, and everything else, all the way down to the DNA and into the molecular structure. Probably it's just everywhere. So, but back to your birth here. So the 5 IMEX is very close to the 4 how Blue Water was looking at. It's actually the day after. And it would have occurred on December 22nd, 2012. So that was her
last Mayan birthday, yeah.
Yeah, so that, well, no, that wasn't her last one, because there was one in between there, I believe, I'm pretty sure. I'd have to calculate it out.
Oh, okay.
I think there was, though, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, there would have been, yeah.
Pretty close. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'd have to calculate it out, but I think there was another one in there.
Every 9 months or so, yep.
Yeah, what so the, but this is very close, too, to, it's the next day after this, it would be a 6 eek. So there's some eek energy here that's very close, right next door to your birth, which is Blue Otter's birth on 9 eek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now the...
She's a windy. She's a windy like me. Eek is a wind.
So the things on the 5, the number 5, it has to do with the 5th, kind of in the elements, it'd be like the... It also connect even more to the 5th element. The ether or whatever, which is in an essence sort of a wind as well, and it has to do with a lot of things with the pushing up their elevation in creation, so the movement there of things. It has partner energy of the 8, which is has to deal more with like the top of a pyramid and such. So it's kind of in that same realm, and then the IMEX glyph itself has to do with, you could potentially be a person that could have developed a lot of intuitive abilities and a lot of, you know, things that they call the senses beyond the normal 5 senses. You know, not just the 6, but 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th senses, maybe. You probably tend to might work in some ways, maybe not in the physical, but in the spiritual realm a little bit more kind of with the left-hand side. And in these things, the left-hand side is kind of the heart side, because the heart sits a little bit more to the left, right?
Yeah.
So those are, and then the things about some ability to communicate, some intelligence about sort of in centering and things, too. The number 5 tends to have a ability to center things like that. So it's a day which relates to, you know, strength and fortifying spirit and divine stuff and messages and dreams and things can be around you. So that's, and it's in the cycle of Kaban, which is, that has to do with what Blue Otter was saying earlier about the movement of things, movement, synchronicity, thought, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's what Will's telling me something about.
Now, if we go over and we look at, to give you a little bit of a glimpse from an expanded, when I said that I was given what amounts to a sacred geometry creator growth or extension of the Zulcan itself. So we'll look at that and see what it says. And in this part, there'll be 3 components. There'll be the forward flow of time, which is the way we normally view it, and there's the backward flow, which is coming the other way, and then there's where those two merge or come together into kind of a bridge, a balancing, or a zero point. So we'll start on the forward flow, since that's the way we normally view time. And yours here is speaking about it's a dog glyph, so that would connect a little bit to the energy of Quetzalcoatl's, the dog of the underworld, as the souls traveled after they died through the underworld. This dog would be there to kind of help guide them. So that's just kind of some background history to this particular glyph that you're born on. It has to do with things just like dogs, you know, loving, loyalty, you know, man's best friend, all that type of thing. So a lot of heart energy, good virtues and things. And here it's interesting because it has the partner energy here is Eek.
And see, I've got supposedly have dog as my destiny sign for, like, after you pass 40, according to this website. It's, yes, she and I have a tremendous amount in common.
Now, the bigger kind of several cycle energies here that are relating to this type of thing has to do, in a little bit larger cycle, it has to do with balance and interchange of energies and balancing that. And then also a slightly larger cycle energy that's driving this has to do with truth. So truth and balance would be two things that would be probably coming in the picture and probably have been with you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, moving backwards, we have something that has to do with, and these are things that you may have seen getting stronger in recent years, anywhere from, you know, 10 years ago or so to now. And they have to do with things about focusing and awareness. A lot on power, love, and also some how energy showing up here. Things about mystical things, kind of shamanistic things. It has there's a possible connection here with the stars of the Pleiades. So I don't know if you've ever looked into that or not.
No, I haven't. I'm not sure about Will, if he has or not.
Yeah, it's an interesting connection here. It kind of connects into the glyph looks kind of like a corn seed going into the ground, and so there's the aspect of the corn there, which shows up, and I think even in the Cherokee they have the green corn thing and the corn maiden and all that. So that's probably something worth exploring with Will about, is Blue Otter about, is that type of thing. It might be worth talking about, because there might be something in going through that you might learn that might be interesting.
Yeah, he's really, since we've been together, I've learned quite a few things from him that I really wasn't aware of. So,
well, you're
we'll see.
Right, you're like most folks. You know, there's millions of Cherokees out there that have, well, you know, they were raised in another culture, and you were acculturated differently, but there's most people I think today have a tremendous interest in things that are spiritual but it's like. Just like John Brings Buffalo told me, you know, a lot of Cherokees are interested in looking at their roots, but when they start thinking about their culture, they're afraid of looking, you know, at the old ways, because they're actually afraid of going to hell, you know. So there's a fear aspect in here, and that kind of makes people go, you know, and because of what they're taught in churches and stuff, and
well, so I didn't have such a clear knowing of the one God, I would probably have fear, but I don't have any fear about looking into it myself, so I'm grateful for that.
Yep, that'll help. So that those two things are going to come together, and they're going to form a symbol that is the star symbol, and it's one of the new green symbols that I was given, and this one is not in the current Mayan calendar. It's not found there, and it has a power of, so this is where your other two time flows come together. So this is kind of like the way I describe it, it's kind of like the doorway or the bridge between worlds. And yours has a lot to do with purpose, things that have to do with creation, and again, balance is coming up here again. So, and also in aspect of healing, and probably one of the things, if you look at the hand glyph down in Mexico, they had what they called called the great hand or the skillful hand or the healing hand or something or the hand Kabul, and you know. They talk about, there was some records, and one was, I think, a Catholic priest, I forget his name now, but he said that, you know, these guys would bring people in, and they'd be sick, and they'd get healed, they'd be dead, and he would resurrect them, and he had marks in his hands, and there's some description of this, I think, in the one book that Blue Otter has, the... what was it? He Walked the Americas, I think.
Yeah.
There's a description, and so it might be well worthwhile for you to kind of read through those parts, especially where it's talking about the hand and the hand Kabul. And there's one part where it talks about where he went up on some place and he literally just pressed his hands right into the rock. And
well, let me tell you what. Now, I'm allowed to tell. I went to Green Corn Festival, and the keeper told me I'm allowed to tell people what I saw. And now, Grandmother Red Leaf, as she was blessing the circle to get ready for ceremony, talked about how every year that the Cherokee have warriors that go into the caves with red ochre, and they put the red ochre on their hands, and they renew the handprints on their caves in order to renew our ownership of those territories, so that when things get set in order, that's the sign of who owns what and who belongs to the earth and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, the whole thing with the hand is something that comes up a lot. I mean, in the Mayan thing, this hand glyph is also called Kazur Deer. So sometimes you'll see it, especially in the Aztec versions of, or Nahuatl versions of the glyphs, it actually is a deer head instead of a hand symbol. And that's interesting because there was a story that was in that book, He Walked Americas, and it talked about, it was supposedly a Cherokee story. And they had said the Pale Prophet took these 12, I guess they were all Cherokee, out in the forest or the woods, right? And they're walking along this path, and there's this little baby deer there, and it's all alone. There, you know, no mother or nothing around, and so apparently they say most of these stories that the Pale Prophet could just walk up to the animals, communicate with them in some way. So supposedly he went up there, talked to little deer, you know, asked like, "Where's your mother at?" or something like that, right? And they go up a ways. I don't know, half a mile away or so. The book didn't really say how far, but somewhere, you know, it was a little bit of a walk. And the mother's laying there on the side somewhere, and she got attacked, and she's dead. And they said that the Pale Prophet guy moved his hands over her body and just, you know, like squashed her body with his hand, just moved it over, and the wounds healed, and she got up.
Oh,
and she was alive. And then some of these, some of his Indian disciples, students, one of the 12 of them said, "Well, gee, you know, teacher, what, you know, why did you waste your energy, your power on an animal?" And he says, well, you know, there is no deed, no matter how small, done out of love, that is not more valuable than the most precious, you know, gem or something on earth. Something like that. And this book sort of was placing this into a charity context story. So the that part might be interesting for you to read and contemplate, too, about the idea of the hand and then the healing and the deer energy. And the deer in the Mayan thing is actually one of the really important days for the daykeepers, the deer days. They're very significant. So, and it probably is because of this. It probably goes back to that tradition, and so that might be something that you look into as well, because it may maybe something there where you have some potential healing abilities, and when you work with balance and healing and stuff, and then there's. Probably
you,
some ability there that you have.
Is so many things that I really believe. I know that I know that he can do anything through you, for you, whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that, so, and give you a few things maybe there to contemplate, and maybe it'll help you out.
Okay, sounds very good. Thank you, I appreciate it.
No, you're welcome.
And hope you guys can keep up with what you're doing, because I tell you, there's a lot of things in this world we just don't really know anything much about, and if you don't ask, you're sure not going to get to know.
Yeah.
Hey, feel free to, you know, if you got some things to say, to get on the record for people, honey, now's the time to do it. And you like to shake the earth. So hey, if you got some things to say about what's going on in the world now,
since I was a child, a small child.
What's that?
I never, hardly even went with the flow of anything, and I guess people think I'm a little strange, but, you know, as long as God...
Gee, that sounds like the rest of us.
Yeah, join the club.
You're in good company.
I've had some real, you know, stories to tell.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've always had a heart for people that are the underdog, and... even when I was in school, and I was in school talking, even when I was in elementary school, about I am of the earth, I am in the earth, but not of the earth, you know. And I never could figure out where that came from. I just kept going along with it. I went to church occasionally when my mother sent my twin and I. But as the years passed, God really didn't make himself known to me. Of course, I didn't give him a lot of leeway either, because my sister had been murdered when I was 23, and she was quite young. And I was not real happy with the idea that God had allowed that, and he showed me why, and why that it was more important that she come to him then, because he doesn't lose anyone that's his. And she was about to walk away from him. And she's the one that first told me, you know, let me know that there was something greater than us. And over the years, you know, I had some real problems with even suicide, and God saw me through it, and he finally got a hold of me big time. And it said in the Word, you know, where else would I go when I'm in trouble? There's no place else. And I could tell you a lot more.
Yeah. Whatever you feel like talking about, this is the place, because it helps other people.
Well, there's just so many people that are hurting, and the healing can only come from God and the people he puts in your path to help you along. And I know Will has done that a lot for me, and I am so grateful that he showed up when he did. I didn't know what I was going to do anymore, because I have fibromyalgia, and even though the healer has healed me from even a heart attack that I had in 2009, I have fibromyalgia, and it's pretty rough to live on your own and try to keep up with everything. And I just asked the Lord that Friday night. I remember it well. I said, Lord, you know, I've been married once, and that didn't work out very well. But my husband did get saved a month and a half before he died, because I was following what God told me to do. And I followed him all the way to the very end with this. And it was hard at times, but my husband died knowing him, not just knowing of him, which is where he came from. He knew of him. And you got to know him. And that is only found by spending time and letting him have the time to talk to you. And so anyway, the short of it was that I've been on my own again for 19 years. And that Friday night, I just told the Lord, I said, no, I have to have some help from you, from somebody else, or if you want me to be married again, then you're going to have to let me know. Because I said, I'm at the end of this rope here. And by gosh, the next day I went to the little church that I attended, and there was Will.
And that's where my Chickamauga Cherokee friends have a little converted garage, you know, where we got together Saturdays, and had she been there the previous Thanksgiving, she would have met me. The clan mother there and the other sister there, they knew that Linda and I are supposed to get together, but they didn't say a word. And
I hadn't heard anything from him about Will. And when I took his hand, I asked him, you know, who he was, and I took his hand and shook it. The father told me that this is the man. And,
wow, yeah. Right then and there, huh?
Well, he called me the next morning, and he said, we have something to talk about. And I said, we certainly do.
Well, and the funny thing, I'll give a little background. The previous, before I left you, I went and did my mind vision quest. And this was in the summer of 2009. And I went, see, you're supposed to go during your birthday during at the center of the night. And the way Carlos Barrios taught was that there was actually place that you should go, and if there was a service available, they could help you go to the proper place. Sometimes it was close by, and so I had to go about 50 miles to the place, and it was, I mean, there was traffic in the area next to a lake, and just made the circle on the floor of my truck and lit a candle and just kind of, you know, shut my eyes for a few minutes, and I saw a dirt road in front of me that went out about a mile and around a bluff, and there was a ranch gate. And hanging from the ranch gate was a curtain of Jerusalem vine. If you've If you've ever seen Jerusalem Vault, you know what I'm talking about. And then I heard the words, you have no choice. And that's exactly what happened, because I'd gone clear after I went on like a 15-month journey. And the way it worked out, I had no choice but to pull off at Crossville because my car was breaking down. And I figured, well, hey, you know, I ought to stop in and see Deborah and Dave and maybe take a look at this car. And because my alternator was breaking, because I've been using it to charge the batteries in my RV, which I had sell. I bought an old RV. It was broken down, and I had to just sell it at a great loss in New Mexico, and just drove back here, and my alternator was going out. As it worked out, I literally had no choice. But I've been told in a dream twice previous summer that I was going to find a wife, and she was going to live in an area that was kind of rolling with a lake and boat docks, and there'd be a white cat involved, and that's exactly what this area looks like. And there's a white ceramic cat on the doorstep, and a picture of a white cat over her bed. So it's really wild the way it came about.
Well, we're grateful that it came about.
Well, me
God
too.
God always has plans that you know. If you don't really know him, I'm telling you, you're missing the best part of your life.
And it's still hard, and because we're really be in contact when you're kind of waking up or going to sleep, or if I've had the spirit literally scream inside my head. But that only happens when it's, like, really important. And it's like, every night before I go to sleep, I just say, hey, what do I need to know? And sometimes I don't hear anything. It's like she and I were struggling with a question on whether to do something here. And last night I just heard one word that gave us a hint that it was a good idea to go ahead and do it. Plus, dreaming about rifles. Right, I've been dreaming about rifles lately, and when you dream about rifle, that dream that you're supposed to go right straight for your target, and it's a shotgun, which means you're being scattered. But I use dreammoods.com quite a bit, and it's really helped. Dreams are they're a clue to help you adjust your personality if you'll pay attention. Most people are clueless, and
that's not an easy thing to do either.
Oh, it's not. But like Red Hat told me years ago, you've got to surrender to Creator, and boy, I'll tell you, life is a lot smoother for me. I've been through a lot of rough patches, and I've been dragged through. You know, I've been in the briar patch, and at this point, I tell anybody, oh, please don't throw me in the briar patch. You know, I'm perfectly at home in the briar patch.
Yeah, honey, like, you're breaking up quite a bit on the line here.
Well, it's the network.
It
comes and goes.
Maybe she, since we've been kind of having the theme of sometimes having about this, and she's brought it up a couple times here about the importance of Creator, and also maybe she can give some listeners some of the insights and things that's helped her, you know, gain that connection for herself to Creator, to where she can hear and any experiences she had that kind of might help other people learn how to, you know, make their connection work better.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
My main thing is you've got to spend time with him. You know, I notice when I don't spend as much time, I'm not in tune. You know, I'm not walking beside him, and he's not showing the way as clearly as when I'm, you know, I talk to him about areas in my life that I'm sure that I need help in yet, and I, you know, pray for others, but sometimes you really got to wake up to the fact that you're just not perfect, and in this imperfect world, we are going to have suffering and everything, but walking with him has been the real way for me to live. I there's no way for me to live without him, and I don't want to even consider doing that. So just, you know, if you just talk to him a few minutes here and there along the way, you know, just during the day, before you go to bed, you know, just talk to him before you fall asleep, and give him a little time to say something to you. You don't have to be talking all the time. I really try to, you know, I've always been a person that I know a good thing when I see it, sort of speaking. And I was a very hurt person and still suffer with this. And had I not given my life to the Lord and started following him, I wouldn't be here today. There's no question about it. And there's so many people that are struggling with anything and everything you can think of. And I came out of a pretty rough childhood. Things weren't, you know, sweet and great, you know. And there's probably very few people that are untouched by things that have happened, you know, to them when they were young. As they get older and they have more, you know, they're more in touch with different relationships, and they've got to know there's somebody that's wanting you to come to him, because he really has the answers and what he wants you to do for the rest of your life. It's you've just got to be available to him. I mean, who are you going to, as someone told me once, you know, who are you going to answer first? The person that's talking with you, you know, each day, or the person that never pays attention to you? Well, Father God is the same way, you know. He picks up the line of the one that he hears most from. And you've got to open up and quit being in denial that you're somebody you're not. You've got to quit denying that you're hurt, you're broken, and start walking with him. And he'll start showing you when you're able to handle it, where you're problem areas are and what makes your life more difficult. And I'm still learning. I'm 64 years old and I'm still learning.
Yeah,
well, but it's great.
There's that scripture that says, you know, a lot of people can say, you know, Lord, Lord, you know, and say, but, you know, I never knew you.
But who?
Go away.
Yeah, a lot of people think they have a real knowledge of him, but they just know of him. It's there's no real relationship there, and it's a shame because they're missing out on so much that can bring you to a brighter day. I think Will would say a real amen to that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
And you're talking to a person who's, I mean, she's not afraid of death. And she's choosing to stay. And it's hard for her. And it's a day-by-day thing. And I guess that's what it comes down to, you know, for everybody. Because, you know, when you get up, you know, we're about 50 years old, and if you really want to, there's some people that think, you know, well, if you really want to stay in this world, you're really kind of stupid, you know. I don't know. I hang around just to see what's going to happen next. So I'm kind of crazy that way, and I got some pretty good ideas of, you know, what's going to happen. I just, you know, I don't. You know, with what's going to happen, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting ride. To quote anybody that's seen the movie, the Duke Cox story, it's a beautiful ride.
Are you still there, Mark?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Just listening.
He's a good listener. But he's a very wise. How old are you, Mark?
Let's see. What, about 54 right now?
54.
Really? Okay. You sound like you're
very much younger than that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you look younger too, and of course, in a darkened room, if you stood next to Gray, they would pretty much be indistinguishable. I mean, I said in a darkened room, if he stood next to a gray alien, you know, he's kind of got the look. You know, I think you know that, Mark, because I've seen you, you know, with your glasses on, you know, and you shave your head, and kind of cool looking. Yeah, you haven't seen his picture, you know, standing in front of my calendar, and Mark's an interesting guy. I didn't get him for a good year. I mean, I was just introduced to the Mayan calendar and his birthday readings by Robert Three Eagles in 2007, and that's about time. Mark started sending messages, and like, wow, you know, who is this guy? And I'm going, you know, so then we started talking, and I realized, oh my gosh, you know, he's a fountain of wisdom, way beyond his year.
And that's how God can lead you to other people that, you know, can really teach you some things that you're otherwise not going to find out about, and you really got to be in prayer, because you've got to make sure you're not going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
And the only way you can do that is for the Father to lead you and you to have him question what you're listening to, you know, just enable you to have discernment about a person and never even meet them in person. And, you know, we all show sides, you know, who we are out in public and who we are really spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Only God can differentiate that for you. So it's important to walk with him and know who you're dealing with.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Well, you,
very
you've done...
important. I've been fortunate because most of it's that I was fortunate in learning from people that I think did exactly that, and they just genuinely had other people's well-being in a lot of variety of ways and learn from them, and we all you know, benefit from all these people that came before us, you know, the Creator put on our path before us, so that when we get here, they already did some work for us to help us out.
Yeah, I've already learned that there are more paths to healing that people recognize. And I have been healed of different things in so many different ways. He's brought different individuals. He's done it just by my asking. If I don't get my way, I don't scream out like even a 70-year-old that doesn't know him would scream out and say, well, you know, what is going on here? You know, I say, well, Lord, you know what's best. So even though I really don't like what's going on right now, I know that you know the best thing for me. And you just walk it out. You just have to walk it out with him and stop questioning him, because we don't even begin to learn the Spirit's way before we die on this earth. We come so far, and everybody's at a different place in learning, and some choose not to learn anymore. Some choose to have never started, and some go to their grave with all these treasures that they could have had. And I'm not talking about material things.
Right.
It's interesting how God can get you to the right people at the right time.
Yeah.
Well, we never have talked about, you've done a traveling, who were you taught by, and what elders, we never ever really have gone into that. I know you've rubbed up against, you know, quite a few prominent elders, and a lot more than me, probably. And I've got that Jaguar energy. I'd rather stay hidden than behind a microphone and, you know, and a camera on me. And you've been out there, and you've done some things and met some things. Tell a little bit more about yourself, Mark.
Well, I thought your wife there was on a pretty good roll helping people how to contact Creator and in the discernment thing. I mean, she's handling it here, so I don't. Maybe we should continue on that path. unless she's kind of worn out or something.
Well, we never get it. I don't think Will has ever mentioned that he's ever heard any of your story. So just jump right in anytime.
Well,
I have so much to tell. It would take hours upon hours. I did a testimony on a radio show that I had no idea I was going to be on that day. I went to my job, and the Father just told me, you know, he had a plan for me to be on that show and give my testimony that day. And with all the circumstances around me, there was no way I was going to get to the radio program that I knew the pastor was my pastor and three others that was here in town. And I had no idea that not only did he have me get away from work to go to that, but the next day, I thought we were finished, you know. Well, he sent me back the following day, and how he managed it is just unbelievable. And I managed to give my testimony, finish the testimony, and if it touched one person, that made all the difference in the world. And people don't realize they have a lot more to give than, you know, that they're really offering out. If you speak of the Lord and just tell them some of the things you've experienced,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can touch people where they really need help. We all do. If you're on this earth, you need help.
Yeah.
You know, I do what I can, but I just can what I can't. Give it to the creator and say, okay, Lord.
Saw yeah. that.
Well, there was a quote that gave out, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, last week or something, and it was a quote that a friend of someone told me about, and it was kind of has to do with what you just said. And it says, the quote was, we are all here helping each other walk home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
well,
we are
where's home at? Well, obviously back to the Lord, right?
Right.
So we're all just here kind of helping each other get back there, and
yeah.
if we looked at it that way, we probably would do okay.
Well, the problem is we're filled with so much pride and denial about things that we can't get past ourselves to go further on and, you know, find out what God has in store.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, too many people are laying in their graves even when they got to be 70 and 90. They missed, all the treasure was buried with them. And
yeah.
I don't want to be one of those. I refuse to be one of those. And I've had that attitude since I was very young that I can't always... You know, I'll walk with you in a crowd, but if I see something that I can't agree with, if something inside me says absolutely not, I will turn around and go the other way. And I've always been that way, and I've had a lot of trouble because of it, but I know when something is right and when something is wrong. And when I first became a Christian, I did many things wrong. Believe me. And I had to even give that to the Lord because I felt guilty about the fact that I didn't present him correctly. Or, you know, I was too forceful in my presentation. And,
yeah, you and me both. when I was young.
I guess if you really,
you're
starting to really know him and he is really working with you, you can't help but tell people about him. And you have to get to the point where you hear the Spirit and you know when to talk and you know what to say and you know when to shut up. You know?
Yeah. After all, who's smarter here, right? Us or Creator?
Yeah, who is it? I remember a pastor speaking of that. It was just her and God in the car, and she was arguing with God about who had done something wrong. And it dawned on her, it was just her and God there. Did God make the mistake, or did she?
Well.
And it finally came to, you know, pass that she realized, you know, she said, I am the one who caused that problem, not you. So, it's just very interesting. I could talk all day and night about the Lord, but most people don't really, you know, they don't want the change either. They resist. And I don't like change for change's sake. I'm not into, this is something I knew that I needed to be engaged with the Internet, but I am not that type of person. I just don't like that stuff. I give that to Will. He handles it very well, thank God, because I knew that, you know, God could get me there, but it was going to take a lot longer than I have probably on the face of this earth. And it just, you know, I don't understand how I went I went almost 41 years without really taking notice of the Lord. You know, I knew that he existed, but my life was busy with everything but him. And one day I realized after 22 months of doctors and hospitals that none of them could help me. And when a friend of mine that didn't know I had even returned home after being in a hospital for 7.5 months to see if they could help me with the problem of living in this world. I had run into town because when I got back from this hospital was up north, and I didn't know how to live. I still didn't know how. And the Lord sent this woman, and she knew where to find me because she was told that I had gotten home and that I was in trouble. And she come into the place I was at, and I hid from her because I knew what she was going to tell me. And I was deep down inside, I was ready to hear it. And I finally come up to her, and she says, "You are still in trouble, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "After 22 months of doctors and hospitalizations, I'm still not able to live in this world." And she took me to her pastor, and God got a hold of me, big time. And he's the only one that's gotten me to survive, and he's put people in, you know, they were there at the right time. And that's the same thing with Will. He was there at the right time. He was listening to the Lord, and he came the way the Lord showed him to come, and he knew that he knew he was on the right track of what he was supposed to do, and that he was going to find me. And I just knew that I had made a prayer the night before, "Lord, you do what you want done here. I don't know what's best for me." And, you know, it hasn't been easy, has it, Will?
Well,
really?
Actually.
Actually.
Actually, you know, it's like I've told you before, I had a much rougher time with my second wife, Betty. She had a lot of the same problems that you had, and she had a tough time dealing with them. But what I learned from her was she would get real upset until I got upset. Like, I'd cry, and then she would settle down. And then that's when she would know that she could teach me, which is a really funny way. And she also turned my son around because he lost his mom when he was 9.5. And he was a Scorpio and didn't talk much, and he opened up to her and had I left alone to raise him, it would have been pretty, because he started becoming my dad. When he started becoming a little rebellious, I didn't know any other way to handle it other than the way my dad handled me. And so Betty stepped in and straightened it out.
And had you not followed what God was showing you, that wouldn't have happened that way.
That's right, yeah. And I learned, she woke up one morning and she told me, she says, "If you're not good to me, the Lord's not going to give you any more wives." And I thought, what? You know, I had no idea. You know, my first wife was 30 when I married her. We were for 18 years. She dated for age 48. Was 8 years older than I was. And Betty was her best friend, was 12 years older than I was. And then we were together for 12 years, and then she had a stroke and she died. And it's, I mean, I know for a fact that there was a prearrangement. I even had two dreams about, I didn't understand what it meant at the time, but, you know, afterwards, after Joanne passed away, I understood that this was pre-planned, and she was to help me finish raising Joe. She wanted to have a sixth child and said, if you do, I'll divorce you. And she was going to name him Joseph. So she knew, you know. And even her mom confided that she really loved Joseph as a, and in a lot of ways was a lot closer to him than she was to her own blood grandchildren. And so it worked pretty well. It worked out really well. And but keep bringing, you know, John Red Hat in the background saying you got to surrender to Creator. And that is so hard to turn your life over. Because a lot of people just think, oh, that's dumb. Or, you know, how do you do that, you know? And what you do by a little, there's a passage of Mormon written by Alma. He says it's by insignificant and small things that great things come to pass. So it's little baby steps. And just paying attention and listening.
We listen to so much that's not necessary, and it keeps us away from what we need to really be hearing.
There's so much background noise.
Yeah,
but that's,
and so many other distractions in this world. Even the internet sometimes.
Hard to tune. Oh, I spend so much time on the internet, and it's bone of contention, and she deserves more attention. And but I'll tell you, you know, since I met Dr. Rogers, it's been like, oh my gosh, you know, wow. I mean, things are quite well. Speaking of Chief Rogers, I spoke to him last night. I hadn't talked to him in like 10 days. His son is at NYU film school. He's the young man that discovered Sequoia's grave. He went in first and saw the Cherokee syllabary on the wall. He's at NYU film school, and he came home for fall break. I mean, you know, we're lucky to have a spring break, but a fall break. Anyway, he came 5 days, and then I didn't hear from Chief for, you know, another 5 days. And I call his best friend that we're building these radio stations, and you'll see on the picture listening to this interview. And I said, what's going on with Chief? He says, I don't know. He's just real busy. Anyway, I talked to him, and he said, well, And I knew through spirit to just let Chief alone that a lot of stuff that he laid aside, because he made a trip to Utah, and a lot of stuff he'd done, and a lot of distractions that I'd caused, he needed to catch up. And sure enough, that's exactly what he'd been doing. He just got a call from the head man in Dominica, because he was trying to get, he's got a cancer practice opened in Matamoros. He was trying to get in the island of Dominica, but the Chinese are trying to get in there too. And so that's resolved. I wish to give you the real details, but you know, there's some political chicanery involved. So, but Dominica is really important, because if you are in a boat, just like the rowboat that the guys tried to row across the Atlantic, it had to be rescued. Well, that boat washed up right in the middle of the island of Dominica. And if you go down there, they build their ceremonial houses exactly the way Cherokees do. And if you go due east from there, you'll land in Panama. And people there build their ceremonial houses exactly as Cherokees do. And there was a Chidiki. And Columbus, you know, talked about, you know, when I don't remember what sport, but they said when they finally got over to what's now Panama, the people that met them on the beach were no different than his own Spaniards. They had the same variations of hair color and everything, and but the Chickasaw and the Cherokee, they all say they migrated over here in boats. And when the Hernan de Soto found us in 1540, you know, we had red, you know, some with red hair, blonde hair, black hair, the Cherokees were aware that if you don't open up your gene pool, you're going to get into trouble. So it was a tradition to, you know, bring anything that had two legs, basically. But they had certain rules about...
Hey, honey, I need to go, honey. I've got some things to take care of before bedtime.
We'll let you go.
Mark, it was nice talking with you.
Oh, I think you did great talk and really probably helped out a lot of people.
Hope to talk with you again one day. You know, I'd be glad to come back on sometime. But anyway,
good.
I'm going to leave you now, okay?
Take care.
Well, this worked out good.
Well, thanks, honey, for having me pick up.
Oh, you bet.
I just told him I was wanting to have a reading from Mark, and so I guess God decided to open that up. So
yep.
I'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay.
Funny how good night. It's funny.
I'll see you in a little bit, Will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
It's funny how things work out, but hey, you know, we can wind this up early. I've got a bunch of good music we could play till the top of the hour, or if you're out there listening, I know we've gotten live listeners. We have 40 people out there that are listening live, at least, and I want to encourage you to give us a call. The number's right on your screen. It's 347-996-3318. You know who you are. And if you don't call in, you're chicken. All right. Come on, chicken. I know you're out there. I know you're out there. I know exactly how many of you guys are out there. And there was four a few minutes ago, and come on. Come on, call in. You know you want to. It's a perfect time to call in. We've got, about 20 minutes left, and you can get a Mayan birthday reading from Badger here. Okay.
Buck, 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 buck.
Last chance. no takers yet. And sometimes I wonder, I do know what can lead to call just to show up here on the board. And so if you're trying to get through and don't, you know, because I'll look on the show afterward, and it'll show we had, you know, more live callers than we actually had. So during the show, I do read the page. And but come on, give us a call, 347-963-318. Or your chicken. Is there a chicken sign in the Mayan calendar?
Huh?
Is there a chicken glyph in the Mayan calendar?
No, not really.
Not really. Yeah.
There's
a
corn glyph for it to peck on, though, I guess.
Yeah, I get the Quetzal. Well, anyway, anybody, you got a music request? And we'll just play some good music or something. And I've got some nice long clips I can play here and. You got any favorite things that you'd like to hear?
I think you probably got some of them already queued up there.
Yeah, I'm kind of going through the list here, and I know I was looking for something. Here's one I haven't played in a while. This is we'll play Rolling Thunder. It's just over 9 minutes. This is from a show called Thinking Aloud with Jeffrey Ishla. And it's called The Unity of Man and Nature. And we'll just end the show with this. And unless we get a caller, but we want to thank Badger. There it is. Yeah, it took a little while, but the sound finally showed up. But anyway, yeah, we'll listen to Grandfather John Rolling Pope for about 9 minutes, and then we'll end the show with that. Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate calling in, and we'll see. Not sure exactly when our next live interview is going to be, but we it may be a couple of weeks. But we'll be talking to everybody pretty soon. And good night, everybody.
Mad everyone.
Columbus didn't discover America. There were people here already.
That's
a couple
for sure.
Of my boys wouldn't put that down. They were going to school. I had to go up and have a chat with this little principal, and I made him stand on the other side of the desk while I stood on or sat in his chair. Finally, I had to stand up. And I explained to him, I've taught my children not to lie. Now, you're trying to make a liar out of him. And he finally caught the message. I told him, you were working for me. I paid taxes. And so you're going to listen to me. And you're not going to teach my children to lie. And so he made an exception of my boys. But he flunked them.
Well, it seems,
got even with them.
It seems to me that the lie of the larger culture is much bigger than who discovered America. It's as if we've lost touch with something very, very fundamental that native peoples, such as yourself, have kept alive.
Well, they stole most everything. And somebody asked me, what part of America is it that you, isn't there any good thing that you like about this country? I said, yes, that's that part that they stole. And it is very true, even though they stole most everything they could get their hands on, our land, children, women, whatever, they took it, and the natural wealth. Left us very poor people, a lot of our people homeless in our own country. But the best things of all, that they had no value, was our way of life. They copied our Constitution from the Iroquois Confederation. That's in the legal code books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they didn't invent that. They had nothing like it before. But they couldn't live by it because their heart was not, and their thinking was not in that kind of a order to live by something like that. Mm-hmm. And a real freedom and a real peace, they couldn't do it. So they violate it every day by their different interpretations, just like they do their own Bible and different good books. Yeah. And so, and losing these values, they also lost a great deal in how to take care of this land. I like to teach about that. That's our job. We delegate. We don't say we own the land. The grandfather Greek spirit, the one they call God, is one that owns the land. And so that we are, though, the caretakers of this land. Nobody else can do it. But there's people that can help. And we'd like a lot of people like that that would help. If we try to take your job, we'd make a mess of it. Somebody else's job, it wouldn't be too good, because you people have the technology, and we're all needed. All of us are needed to work together. And so there won't be any such day as next war of violence. Also that the land could bloom again. And it does in the desert where I live. And I can prove it right now. It looks like a jungle in that area right around my house. And it's green for 100 miles around. On every side, different deserts, real deserts. But in the area where we live, I've seen even what they call weeds. No such thing as a weed, really. I've seen them dance when there was no wind blowing to the sound of our drums and our singing. That's how powerful that is, too. And so that we have rain, and even without the rain, these plants are still green. It's amazing. I come down here sometimes, I see everything dried up sometimes in the past. And one time they was having a drought. And the water commissioners over here in Marion County wrote me a 2-page legal size type letter and invited me to come down here and get some rain that time. At some years back when it was really drying up down here. And I turned it down. I had a good laugh. You know why? Mm-hmm. They didn't say one word about what this is going to do for me or my people. So we had a good laugh, and then my people did, and I could see it laying in their yards over there. A lot of rusty old pipe. And yet they didn't say one word. We could have used that for irrigation pipe. Put it back together, we could have used it. But it's not for me to beg or to tell them. They never offered my transportation, even. They didn't say where I was going to stay or how I was going to eat. Those people didn't. Now, I know they wouldn't ask anybody else to do anything like that. When they go to their doctors, they pay. You bet they do. Handsomely. I didn't ask them for no payment. I don't go begging nowhere. And they can't treat me like that. They want, they want, they want. And they want an old Indian to work for nothing. Some of those politicians are the worst. Let's put it that way. I don't want to talk too much about politicians.
There was a huge thunderstorm here in the San Francisco Bay Area 2 nights ago, which is extremely rare. We never get thunder and lightning. And
some of my good friends been after me. They've been calling me up there. I got many friends throughout the area here. Besides, I like this area. But when my friends ask me for help, that's different from some politician that ain't going to do nothing to appreciate. And yes, I've been dancing as hard as I could, doing a few other things. So, it's my brother over there, that old storm god. And that's the way I got my name, for that matter. I used to scream like a little eagle's what they told me, even when I was a baby in diapers, run right out in a storm. Yeah, I love it. And that lightning flash, there's a lot of power in it, I tell you. And I know some Indians, I don't like to talk too much about what I can do myself. I tell people I don't do nothing. That's a great spirit's power. But I do have a say-so sometimes, and I can request, you know, what. And if people deserve it, why, they can have it. We like to help, too, in our way of doing things. And I like to, it's beautiful music when that thunder rolls. You can catch some of the water right after the storm. Catch it in pots, pans, any way you can, and drink it. You don't need no nothing to get high with. You don't need anything else. You can feel that energy go all the way through you. I do that sometimes and have my feathers out there making the thunder roll and bringing the lightning down, and then stand right there in the middle of it. I'd look around behind me. Here would be a lot of my family and my people there too, looking up at the show, you know. No, we don't need no heavy artillery, nothing like that. We've got 80,000 more times energy, one bolt of lightning, and there was...
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh-grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
I'm curious about the question. No. A cherished conversation. I feel like we're really bonding as a couple. Will we have this forceful abduction into our feelings?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
probably explains why their naval records can be produced in these pictures.
It's about to not celebrate the Elder Times thing. I guess that will work out.
How much do I want to talk to that?
$75 million. Sorry, where's the money come from? Song Shaw with Petra Campbell from about Hong Kong. This is where it starts. More ideas, bigger depth, more parts, it goes. But it's in China. But excuse that, it's not a fraction. Maybe the last chance to see you go from a lot. They wanted us to design a formal drone technology for developing countries to help with everything from farming to environmental management. The jet battery has a modifier every time it lands. Eventually, it became clear that we're trying to appropriate our technology for military applications. So what did you do? You said no. They came out your girlfriend. So we did this right. We didn't go over the BBC groups and make them rules. So we touched with guns. We started to see the curve. But they said they would release her once they verified the technology. They also told you they were using the technology to help farmers. What did you say? They didn't. It was over 2 terabytes. They were probably still moving traffic. What? About 20 minutes before you got here, I handed over to Larry Westbrook. What do you look like?
Come here, kitties.
I thought they were going to break the
she has to do this right now. The world will make less likely to come into the country. Trust me, we'll work together. Father, I don't want to go for this. The woman who wants to go to the college, after which she needs to initiate the federal government to go to the other side. You just want to surprise me.
No, no, no. In addition to that, I'm just pre-owned.
stolen the technology. I don't want to use it at all, but I'm thinking that Robin is sabotaging the program. They're not going to.
Machines.
No. Robin.
Or Kim Harris. Kate Miller. She's not on his block of a record. If she talks to you, she got close to you, she earned her trust.
No. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
You introduced him to Song Shuffle.
No. That wasn't Robin's deal. That was Oscar's.
She didn't ask for money. She worked with Oscar. Oscar worked with her. Now, they don't think Sandy was going to ask for $75,000.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, are you still here
in Dolphins? Yeah, I'm with you.
Hey, listen, is Oscar Baldwin still there?
Yes.
You're not that complete, you understand?
Speaking of Dolphins, especially in town and China, we're on the way back to questions.
I'll be back. You can't stop me. Sure. Fine, but this is ridiculous.
Thank you. So what I did is all the trash and stuff, and there, there I was, I was able to say, change the list and never want to watch. That we hardly ever watch these in the book, but we think like all our regular children and all our real special stuff.
Why? 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 Working